Good morning, brethren, and happy Sabbath to the brethren on the web hookup. Brother, no matter how nice and productive our week was, it was great to make it to another Sabbath day and come here together, wasn't it? There is just something about walking through those doors and greeting and talking to each other before and after services. We come in here and we leave the world out there. We know out there it's Satan's world. But in here we're worshiping the one true God. Brother, do you know that some people out there believe this world is not Satan's world at all? I was talking to a man I work with and a young lady. We had a conversation and he made the comment that this is Satan's filled world and will all be done away with when Jesus Christ returns. Well, she looked at us with a very horrible look on her face and says, "You're completely wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with this world. What's wrong with both of you?" And she hasn't talked to us since. Well, when something like this happens, we must remember that saying, they don't know, then they don't know. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 4, brother. During this sermon, I'll talk about different translations to bring the meanings together a little better. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. This one I'll read from the Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "Even if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illumination light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Well, and we all live in this world. We all see what's going on. Because Satan, the devil, has been destroying and deceiving mankind since the creation of this earth and the human race. How and why, brethren? Why? Revelation 12, verse 9. We can begin turning there. Revelation 12, verse 9. It states, "So the great dragon was cast out, a serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." This part of this verse that says the whole world. And although it's very easy for us to read and understand this verse, brethren, the majority of this world cannot understand and comprehend what it really means. It says the whole world has been deceived. Past, present, and future. In this verse, the word deceive means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. If you've ever watched the animal show on TV, where a young antelope on the plains of Africa start to stray away from the herd, then all of a sudden, then it shows a lion watching this young antelope, and the lion is slowly moving closer. This young animal will then find us in a race to try to get back to that herd before being pursued by the lion and taken down and killed. This is the danger of how this world is today, brother. And any of us could be that young antelope. If we wander away from the protection of God, the safety of the herd, or the truth, and the virtue of God's word. Looking back in Revelation 12, verse 9, the whole world in the Greek means all, or complete in extent, the whole thing. The word world in the Greek refers to land, or the terrent part of the globe. Especially in ancient history, it referred to the Roman world. But we understand the meaning of this world as the part of the world we live in today, brethren. This is what John is talking about here in Revelation. To the future world and everywhere there are people all over this world. He really meant that the entire world would be deceived by Satan the devil, especially in these end times, which we're now living in. We desperately need the return of Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon is today, brethren, Satan the Deceiver. Satan the Deceiver. We all know that Satan has many names and has many titles throughout his creation and mankind's. We'll look at a few of those names as titles as we move along. But I chose the name Deceiver because he has been deceiving people and spirit beings for a long, long time, brethren. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. You might want to put a marker here in 2 Corinthians. We'll be back a lot. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. We'll see the starting point for the world's deceptions here. This one I'll read from the Common English Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I'm afraid that your minds might be seduced in the same way the snake deceived Eve in his devilish tricks. You might be unable to focus completely on a genuine and an innocent commitment to Christ. This world started being deceived by Satan the devil, brethren, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The word deceived that Paul uses here is a different word from what John used. In the Greek, the word in 2 Corinthians 11 means to seduce, wholly, to completely deceive. Jesus Christ was very much aware this whole world has been deceived. He gave a very pointed warning to his disciples in Matthew. Come with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. And he says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. The word deceive here is the same one John used. Christ is warning his disciples not to allow someone to cause them to roam from safety, to roam from the truth and the virtue of his word. So besides the people in God's church and those who understand these verses, would anyone in the world ever admit the whole world lives in deception, brethren? Absolutely not. What would happen to you or I if we went out there on that street corner with our Bible and tried to read these verses and tell people that they've been deceived by Satan the devil right now and every day? Well, I can tell you, we'll probably get thrown in jail. We'd be beaten up and think we're complete crazy. Because when you don't go along with the majority of society and their views, you're viewed as a crazy one or misinformed. Yet when each one of us came into God's church, we learned early on exactly what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the whole world is deceived. And as we've learned more and more and grew in God's church, we see the truth and can see the reality of what John says about this world. And we can see it is totally deceived and it's wicked and it's getting worse. We can see the depth of the deception in every part of human life. We can see what is happening to human beings and how they're self-involved and they seek only after their own self nowadays, brethren. Well, brethren, we have to look even more and look below the surface and see how much deception is involved in everything around us. Let's do that. In Revelation 12, verse 9, we see who's responsible for the world being deceived and evil today. And the answer is all right here in this Bible. Ever since God inspired the Apostle John to write it down here in the book of Revelation. So we have proven in our Bible in many places, Satan the devil has deceived this whole world. But who really is Satan the devil? Where did he come from? And how has he been allowed to deceive this whole world, brethren? Come with me to the book of Ezekiel. Come with me to the book of Ezekiel. I'll read this from the New Life Version, Ezekiel 28. Let's look at 11 through 15 here. Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 15. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, sing a song of sorrow for the king of Tyrus, and tell him, The Lord God says, You were once the mark of what is perfect, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God, every stone of great worth covered you, rubies, diamonds, and emeralds, and so on, brethren. He had it all. And you had beautiful objects of gold. They were made for you when you were made. Brethren, we can see that Satan was created and was very beautiful, had many responsibilities. Let's go on to verse 14 and 15. You were the cherub who kept watch, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the stones afar. You're without blame in your ways from the day you were made until sin was found in you. Brother, how was sin found in this perfect created spirit being? When Satan was created, brethren, there was not a flaw in him at all, because God was satisfied with this created being. And he was sinless too, brother. This being covered the throne of God and was used as a description for Moses and the children of Israel to build the Ark of the Covenant to represent God's throne here on this earth, brethren. If you want to look at the description and the building instructions, you can look at Exodus 25, verse 10 through 18. But I'd like to point out, though, that when they were building the Ark of the Covenant and making it, the Ten Commandments were placed into the Ark, just as the Ten Commandments are the building block of God's church today, brethren. Here in Ezekiel is a book that tells us about two individuals. It talks about the prince of Tyrus, and it talks about the king of Tyrus. The prince of Tyrus is talking about an individual we will know as the beast, the one who's going to rise over a united Europe and bring the world to the point of complete destruction, brethren. He is the one who will lead the armies against Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth, and he will lose, brethren. He will lose and be thrown into lake of fire with a false prophet by Jesus Christ. So how did this beautiful, perfect cherub go from covering the throne of being thrown down to the earth? Ezekiel 28, verse 15, from the Good News Translation. Your conduct was perfect from the day you were created until the beginning to do evil. There are many different translations that use different words for what Satan happened to Satan, like, until iniquity was found in you. Or until sin was found in you. But I thought it made more sense until you begin to do evil. This angel-like being was someone who was perfect in both character and appearance. He served at God's throne. He obeyed God's laws. And he interacted with all the other heavenly hosts. Until he was no longer perfect in his character, and he no longer wanted to obey God's laws. Here in Ezekiel 28, verse 15, in the New King James Version, the word iniquity refers to moral evil. It also means a wicked or a perverse act or a corrupt nature or character. Iniquity is a sin in its nature as deceitful and dishonest as one can be. It causes a nature which does not see things as equal and right. It causes a nature that is unfair in its dealings. And because of this change in Satan's nature and character, this next verse tells us how God responded to him, brethren. Ezekiel 28, verse 16. By the multitude of thy trading, you have become full with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones afar. The word sin here in Hebrew means to miss the mark. It refers to an act of thought, word, or deed. It's different, brethren, from iniquity. It deals with the actions of a person. It's important, brethren, we understand sin and how God describes it. Satan was thrown out of the government of God because he came very proud, brethren, and very corrupt. Let's read on in verse 17 now. Thou heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Satan became very proud. He thought he was very important and became very corrupted and was thrown to the earth so the worldly kings could see him, brethren. Let's read a few scriptures from Isaiah, brethren, where he writes about the beautiful new created spirit being. Isaiah 14. Come with me there. Isaiah 14. And we'll read verse 12 through 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. When this anointed cherub was first created, his name was Lucifer, brethren, which means in Hebrew, day star. When God cast Satan out of heaven, he threw him back to this earth. Satan's been working on everything and every human being that has ever been born and lived since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This is his earth, brethren, and he sees every human being as a threat to his way of life and his world. That is why he's been so busy attacking the church and the brethren of God, and especially feast plans and everybody's health. He's trying to destroy us. He's also working on weakening the nations even today so he can build them back up and put the leaders he wants in power to help him, brethren. Verse 14, Isaiah tells us why Satan wanted to have a throne like God. Why he wanted to be like God. He wanted everything that God had, brethren, and even more. He wanted everything. Satan wanted God's authority. He wanted to be a worship just like God, too. By spirit beings and human beings. Remember when what Satan really wanted from Jesus Christ in Luke 4? We've read this many a time, but let's look at it again. Luke 4, come with me there. Luke 4. This is the temptation of Jesus Christ after his baptism and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Luke 4, and let's read 1 through 7. I'll read it for the New American Bible. Makes it just a little plainer. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. Well, brethren, just like most of us today, we're also very hungry after 4 hours or so. I am. My wife says I get very grouchy. But you know, the more you fast, brethren, the closer to God you become. And in verse 1, it tells us Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what nourished him, brethren, and allowed him to be tempted and tested. Verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. Verse 6, the devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and the glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whoever I wish. And this will be yours if you worship me." Satan thought he could catch Jesus Christ at a very weak moment here and tell him he wanted to give him the earth, even though, brethren, he knew this was the Son of God who created the earth and all the universe and the galaxies out there. He knew. He still did it. This is what Satan wanted all along. Another spirit being to worship him, and he wanted his throne here on earth, brethren. He wanted it all. Satan wanted Jesus Christ to bow down to him, break the first commandment. It was something that Jesus Christ could not and would not do, brother. Who gave Satan this authority, brethren, and this earth rule over? God did, brethren. And who let Satan test and tempt Jesus Christ? God did. And if we're looking for a why did he allow that to happen? Then perhaps we should look at what our Bible says in the faith chapter about the testing of Abraham. Come with me there, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Let's read 17 through 19. I'll read this from the New English Translation. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He had received the promises, yet he was ready to offer up his only son. Verse 18. God had told him, "Through Isaac's descendants will carry on your name." And he reasoned that God would even raise him from the dead. In a sense, he received him back from there. Abraham knew about the test, brother. And he also knew about God had the power to resurrect human beings from the dead. Jesus Christ knew this also. He knew he could stand up Satan, the devil, and defeat him even as a human being. Let's go to Matthew 4, brethren. Come with me to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. We'll see how Matthew wrote about the same account. Only at the end of his test when Jesus Christ had enough of Satan. Matthew 4, verse 10 and 11. Matthew 4, verse 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus quoted scripture back at Satan, and he passed all the tests and finally told Satan to leave him alone. Satan was defeated in this battle also. And Jesus Christ shows us how to do that, brethren. In our Bible, he tells us in James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How can we submit to God, brother? How can we submit to God? We can begin by obeying God's commandments and keeping the Sabbath and the holidays. Remember when you first came into God's church and how you learned about certain things you don't need to be doing and other things that you need to stop doing? Brother, that's what we're supposed to be doing, learning, growing every day. Come with me to the book of Romans, brother. Romans 10, verse 3. Romans 10, verse 3. I'll read this once again from the New English Translation. Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome here. Romans 10, verse 3. "For ignoring the righteousness that comes from God and seeking instead to establish their own righteousness, They did not submit to God's righteousness. Brother, we are to submit to God's righteousness and not do what we want to do. There's a lot of people out there today, brother, doing that. You can't tell them what to do, and they're doing their own thing. God wants us to submit and seek his righteousness and his way of life and not be a part of Satan's way of life. How can we make Satan leave us alone, brother? If we encounter any troubles, any difficult, brethren, we need to submit to God. Get down on our knees and tell him what's going on. Talk to him like he's right there, brethren. And ask God for help. And if Satan is behind it, which he probably is, he has to leave us alone, brethren. This may not happen immediately, but keep on praying to God and submitting to him, brethren. Brethren, we laid the groundwork about how Satan was removed from God's throne and thrown down here to this earth and given power over the earth for now. Let's keep in mind this power trip is only temporary for Satan. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, brethren. I wasn't going to go there, but let's look at Revelation 20. Come with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. As then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid a hold of that dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he could deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. I hope you're looking forward to that, brother. I am. How things will change. Do we catch that in verse 3, though? It says he will not deceive the nations anymore until that 1,000 years are finished, brother. This verse tells us Satan is the deceiver of all nations right now on this earth. And he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. All of this was put in plan, brethren, many, many years ago, before human beings were even created in God's image and put here on this earth. Satan knows that his time is getting short, and soon this plan will come to pass, brethren. That's why he's so busy going after church members and their family, stirring people and nations up all over this world, brethren. He's destroying everything. He wants to keep deceiving mankind and keep this power over the earth, brethren. He don't want to give it up. So, brethren, let's look at three ways that Satan is deceiving this world right now. We'll look at three tools that Satan uses today. Number one, the truth has to be twisted, brethren, distorted, misused, and covered up. The truth has to be twisted, distorted, and misused, and covered up. Remember in the Garden of Eden when Satan deceived Eve and told her that one rule about not eating from the tree of good and evil was not what God meant. He twisted it, brethren, and told her that it meant that she and Adam ate from it, they would become like God and know the difference between good and evil. That wasn't true at all, brethren. Wasn't true at all. So when God asked Eve what happened, she realized what really occurred in Genesis 3, verse 13. Let's look at that. Genesis 3, verse 13. Genesis 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." From the Garden of Eden, brethren, to these times, Satan's been deceiving almost all of mankind. And he will continue to try and even deceive the very elect, brethren, if we let our guard down and let him deceive us. We've heard and read about how many people died trying to protect the Bible as it was written. Countless more men and women died translating it into different languages. Why was that, brother? Why? Because Satan did not want human beings to be able to understand it, brethren. He made everything different. He twisted it, almost everything. There are so many translations on almost every cell phone. They can download it in almost every language on this earth, brethren. And yet there are fewer people that read the Bible and understand it, because Satan has deceived them, and they cannot comprehend the truth that is right in front of them, brethren. Let's look what our Bible says. 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. They're blinded, brethren, and they don't know. Brethren, they will stay that way until God calls them, until God opens their mind up. And when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and puts Satan away, too. So after taking that truth and twisting it and blinding and deceiving the entire world, let's look at number 2. He's built a really good counterfeit and made it look like the original. He has built a really good counterfeit and made it look like the original. When the Roman Empire issued a civil decree making Sunday a day of rest, instead of Saturday, Satan scored another victory against the truth, didn't he? And then from then on, with the establishment of the Catholic Church, we can tell that Satan's been very busy, a very good productive counterfeit. By making different churches and beliefs, Satan has stirred up doubt and confusion and deceived many people throughout the generations. He's destroyed it all. Let's read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll read verse 1 through 4. I'll read this from the New International. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4. I hope you will put up
with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealous. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. Verse 3. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunnings, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Verse 4. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. In these scriptures, brethren, the Apostle Paul is warning the people in church about the counterfeits that were to come. He wanted them to know what was going to happen. That Satan was going to make and promote other gospels, other churches, and then attack those who believe the real gospel,
wanted to attend and attack God's church too. Satan was so clever in disguising this counterfeit that he encouraged the rulers of almost all the nations to accept it and promote this counterfeit as the real thing, brethren. He's been so successful in this counterfeit scheme because he knows how to lie, brethren, and get people to accept the lie as a truth. Come with me to John 8. John 8, and we'll read verse 40 through 45. John 8, verse 40 through 45. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deed of your father. Then they said to him, you were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. This was a slam on Jesus, brethren. They were saying he was born out of a relationship that wasn't pure, and how could he have been preaching to them? Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you were not able to listen to my word, brother. They were not able to listen and understand the Son of God. But Satan has deceived with their minds. Verse 44 and 45. If you are your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do, he was a murderer. This is referring to the death of Abel. From the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. These were powerful words, brethren, spoken to the Jews at that time, and they hit them hard. So hard they wanted to stone him. They picked up the stones and looked around for him. But he had already walked away from them, brethren. They had claimed to be the children of Abraham. Yet Jesus said they were the children of Satan. He was basically calling them liars too, just like Satan. They were blinded by Satan, brethren, and totally deceived. Satan is very good at deceiving this whole world and even God's people. How is this possible, brethren? Because Satan can be very busy doing all deceiving and lying, and we can't see or know he's there. He's a spirit being, brethren, and he can operate unseen to the human eye. Brethren, we've all been there. We've struggled. We've searched all through all the deceptions, looking for the light and the truth. And now we're here in God's church, and we're safe, aren't we? No, brethren, not yet. We still have fighting to do. We still have to stand up to Satan, the devil. How do we do that, brethren? By putting on the armor of God. We need the total armor of God to protect us from Satan, brethren. It's been talked about lately. We've been talking about Satan so far in the sermon. We cannot forget about his demons. He took a third of God's angels during his rebellion and been here on this earth with him the entire time, destroying everything. Brethren, we're supposed to have the armor of God to help us stand against Satan and his evil demons. If we pray daily for God to protect us and put on the armor of God every day, he will protect us, brother. One thing we cannot forget about, Satan can attack us at any time, brother. And then he can change it up and use another tactic on us. Let's look at number 3. Satan can pretend to be something that he is not. Satan can pretend to be something he is not. Don't forget, he is the great deceiver, and that he has been able to transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11. Back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. Verse 13. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also disguise as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions desire. Brethren, it's important to understand that when we read about Eve being deceived in the Garden of Eden, it's talking about the serpent. And it's talking about the serpent again in Revelation, brethren. We need to remember the word serpent in the Hebrew refers to the bright, shiny one. Remember how God created Satan? God created him as a very beautiful spirit being. So it shouldn't come to us as a surprise at all, brethren, that Satan is able to transform himself into something that looks good and even looks righteousness. He can change his appearance, brethren. He can operate unseen and undetected. But he can also change his appearance to look good and trustworthy. Come with me to John 12. Come with me to John 12. We'll read a few verses here about Jesus Christ spoke in Bethany 6 days before Passover, brethren. John 12, and let's right now look at verse 9 and 10. And this is from the English Standard Version. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. I find these verses very interesting right here, brother. Because the Jews came there to see Lazarus, the man that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And they plotted to kill Lazarus and Jesus. Let's read on, drop down verse, brethren, 27. Verse 27 says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven, I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it say that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Verse 33. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have that light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. Verse 36, brethren. While you have that light, believe in that light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah may be fulfilled. Verse 39, therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart. Turn, and I will heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Verse 42, brethren. Verse 42 and 43 and 44. Nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Jews were blinded by Satan, brethren, the deceiver, and fulfilled prophecy written by Isaiah. They quoted scriptures from the Old Testament when it pleased them to try and refute Jesus Christ's authority. They did not recognize the miracles and the healings that he had performed in God's name, but he always gave the glory back to God, brethren. Brethren, we covered three tools that Satan uses to deceive this world. Let's look at three really quick ways that we can use to fight against the deception on our own lives and not become deceived or part of this world. Number one, God's word is always truthful, brethren, and his prophecies will come to pass. God's word is always truthful, and his prophecies will come to pass. Brethren, that means that everything that was inspired by God and that has been recorded in this Bible is the truth, and his prophecies will be fulfilled. Number two, we've talked about it. Put on the whole armor of God daily, brethren. Pray that God protects you before you leave every day. And number three, keep alert, brother. Keep alert and be able to spot that counterfeit out there. Be able to spot that counterfeit of the teachings and the doctrines that are wrong. How can we be sure of this, brethren? Because in the book of Titus, it tells us. Come with me there, the book of Titus, right after Timothy. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to Titus in A.D. 63, after his first release from the Roman imprisonment. Titus 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandments of God our Savior. Not only these meant to be encouraging words to that young man, young minister Titus, but then they're also meant to be very encouraging to us in this church right now. We know that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, developed a plan to save all mankind before human beings were even created on this earth, brethren. And with that plan set in place, our elder brother, brethren, came here as a physical human being, endured a life of service to others. He died a painful death so that we could be reconciled back to God, brethren, and have our sins forgiven. We first had to be called, repent, and be baptized. We have to continue to live God's way and help and serve others too. Come with me to Psalms 117. Psalms 117. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Tells us about God's truth here again. Psalms 117, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Did you ever notice, brethren, that these verses make up part of a great hymn? But that part of verse 2 is not in that song. The most important part of the chapter. "And the truth of the Lord endures forever." God's truth will endure forever, brethren. And when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, and after Satan is bound, then God's kingdom will be established on this earth. Brethren, it will endure forever. Sometimes it's important, brethren, to turn to the end of the book and see the good guys win. Let's just do that. Revelation 22. Come with me to Revelation 22. We'll read verse 1 through 7. Revelation 22, verse 1 through 7. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of it, its streets on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielded its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and their name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light there. They'll need no lamp nor light for the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever." Verse 6 and 7. "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord of God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants, and the things which shortly take place." Verse 7, brethren. Says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Brethren, if we believe and keep hold of the words that are faithful and true, and keep the words of the prophecy of this book in our lives, brethren, every day. In other words, we're to keep living a godly Christian life. And remain faithful to the end, brethren. Don't give up, brethren. Don't give up. That's exactly what we need to do, brethren. But I know our scriptures more. Stand up to Satan and his temptations. And we tell him to go away and go to our Father. Go to our Father for help and strength. Let us increase our awareness of how Satan, the devil, deceives this world every day and tries to deceive the very elect of God, you. If we know how Satan works, we can fight against him more effective. Let's help one another. Let's help one another fight against the deceptions of Satan, the devil, and help the church to keep preaching that gospel until Jesus Christ returns.